Thank you so much, Catherine. As a brand new rector at St. Mary's Church, I didn't know what I was about to experience when Michael Carlevale offered to take me to lunch. Suffice it to say that after about 45 minutes, I pulled out my phone under the table and texted my secretary, please cancel all of my afternoon appointments. Michael was the most intelligent, charming, complex, widely read, amazing man that I had had the chance to have lunch with in a long time. I'm not sure if he was horrified that I didn't know what steamers were or delighted at the opportunity to educate me, but I could barely move at the end of that lunch. I was so stuffed with steamers and swordfish and salad and his explicit instructions to the kitchen about how to make the Caesar salad. The most extraordinary part of this lunch, and I won't confess how many glasses of wine we had during that period of time, but I'm glad it lasted a long period so I was safe to drive home. During this lunch, we traveled through so many different aspects of his life. I learned his deep, passionate love for his family, and how, although the circumstances that brought him back to the Cape were not ideal, how he had made the best of that situation by drawing closer to his family and by meeting a whole group of new friends here on the Cape and at St. Mary's Church. So much of Michael's contribution to our parish community not only was his extraordinary gift for humor and conversation at any parish event, but he was a fixture at our daffodil tea, our holly fair luncheon, our Thanksgiving dinner, almost any time that Janice and Matt and others would prepare huge meals for the community, Michael was there. Now again, sometimes this was extraordinarily frustrating for him, like when I thought that I would barbecue some chicken at an afternoon barbecue and dared to show up without boiling it first, and actually had sauce on it on the grill. I think it was difficult for Michael sometimes, coming from such a cosmopolitan and wonderful city as Toronto, to learn to be gracious and to teach, to truly teach those of us who were not quite up to his standards. Now, some of us were up to his standards and could delight Michael with a delicious meal in their homes. But Michael's capacity to pull you along with him was extraordinary. In our lesson from Isaiah, when we hear that the Lord of hosts is making a feast of rich food and well-matured wines, it is such a beautiful image for how Michael is resting for all of eternity with those things that he loved best in the world, with people, with conversation, with delicious food, and with wine. And for those of us who are left mourning for him, how do we find comfort thinking about this eternal peace and rest that Michael has? I think part of the expansiveness of a spirit like Michael Carlevale teaches every single one of us that God is able to hold every paradox, every dichotomy, every single one of us in our finest moments and in our most dreadful moments. Every single one of us is welcome at the feast of our Lord. When we have those moments that we wonder, what is this all about? How is it possible that we are saying goodbye to this dear person, this extraordinary spirit? I hope that we can each take comfort knowing that people who were closest to our Lord, that Martha, one of the best friends of Jesus, had severe questions about how her brother could have died. The resurrection that Lazarus experienced was not permanent. He, of course, died again. But in the comfort of Jesus being with his friends, just as Michael would have been, in crying with his friends, Michael was at almost every funeral that we ever had in this parish. Most of the people he knew incredibly well, because as Catherine pointed out, he made friends wherever he went. And even the people that he had not had the chance to get to know so well, his deep and abiding faith in Jesus and in the resurrection called him to this liturgy, which is at its heart an Easter liturgy, one celebrating the resurrection. And in my four-hour lunch with Michael, I learned the depths of his faith that were cultivated in his family, in his schooling, in his faithful church attendance through all of the years, wherever he lived. His passion for the Easter vigil and the incredible feast that could be created to go along with that. And every time, some weekends, he would come to church three times in a weekend. And every time when he would come to the communion rail, the sense of hopeful expectation and joy in his eyes would bring me to tears with that slight tremor to his hand. He would look me dead in the eyes and say, "Thank you, Jesus." For all of his complexity, for him daring to leave so soon, we are invited to join him in saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of this extraordinary life." For a man whose impact we may not know until we are gathered around that heavenly banquet table, and able to see how many lives he touched to the very heart of their being. And as we continue to grieve for Michael, as we try to imagine what our lives will be without his quirky and loving and beautiful presence among us, we can do what he would have done. We can gather with each other, we can make friends, we can share delicious food, we can have long, lingering conversations, we can hold fast to our faith even when it makes no sense, even when the paradoxes seem to overwhelm us. And we could know, because of the life of Michael Carlovale, that all of that is absorbed in the love of God, a love that we each experienced through him. Amen.
Amen.